Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, we're going to start out by going to Psalm 1, the very first Psalm. So just find the book of Psalms, and then go to Psalm 1. And I want to talk this morning. Oh, thank God 2020 is changing. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't just mean that, you know, we're going into 2021. That's happening pretty soon, by the way. This is amazing the way time goes. But things are changing. Praise God for us believers. Praise God. Been quite a year. A lot of things that you could have your mind on. But, you know, I want to talk to you this morning about this. I want to talk to you about just a real simple teaching this morning, just for a while, on meditating on good things. Meditating on good things. Now, we're going to read Psalm, and then we'll talk about this. Let's, Psalm 1, I want to read the first three verses. You got it? All right. Verse 1 says, blessed, happy, to be envied. Whew, that sounds like good stuff. Blessed, happy, to be envied, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, I have in my Bible this, and I think that you need to think about this, your happiness. See, blessed, the word blessed, I think the Amplified Bible says, happy to be envied, fortunate, and all. It adds some words to it. But that I have in my Bible, I have written down here, your happiness depends on your walk. Thank you. I'm glad. Wow, what a revelation. I know. Praise God. Way to go, Pastor. I said, your happiness depends on your walk. Yeah. It doesn't depend. Now, listen now. A lot of people think, well, if I just had this, I'd be happy. If I just had more money, I'd be happy. Well, you might be more comfortable, but if money made people happy, then all the rich people would be happy.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of rich people are sad.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So money's not the key to happiness. Money's good to have. Don't misunderstand me. I like having it. But money's not the key to your happiness. You know, well, if my spouse would just, you know, act right, I'd be happy, Pastor. I just know I'd be really happy if they just, you know, just act better. Well, it'd be more peace at home, but that's not where happiness comes from. Are you listening now? Happiness depends on your walk. What are you doing? Amen. What are you doing with your life?
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, really, honestly, you can go to some of the persecuted church areas where the church is really persecuted, where those people should be the least happiest, and they're the happiest. So they must know something, right? You know, I had a friend, he was in one of those areas one time, and he said, I went to the church, you know, and it was former, I think, like a Soviet country type country. He said, I went to the church to preach, and he said, I'm in there. And he said, all of a sudden, I hear this roar. And he said, feels like it's coming from the back of the church. And you think, man, there must be something going on. Must be some kind of disturbance or something. And he said, it was the people praising God. They were just so exuberant and alive and happy. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, I was preaching one time, and I'll leave the country unnamed, but it's one of the poorest countries, you know, in the southern hemisphere. It's one of the poorest ones. And so, you know, they don't have much. And I was in there getting ready to preach at a leadership conference years ago. And we gathered together. It was like leaders, pastors, and so forth. And we're having a seminar. It's a morning service. So the American people did, you know, missionaries did, his wife did a couple songs or something. These people were so exuberant, guys. I mean, they were just all over the place worshiping God, full of joy and happy. And I thought, wow, man, we got a bunch of Spirit-filled Holy Ghost leaders in here. Well, here's what I found out. I got up, I preached, you know, and then the friend was with me. He got up and he preached on some things, and he mentioned tongues, speaking in tongues. And when he got done speaking, this one lady pastor raised her hand and she asked him, what is speaking in tongues? I thought, wait a minute. I thought we had a bunch of Spirit-filled people by the way they were acting. And I thought, these people aren't filled with the Spirit, and they're out rejoicing us that are filled with the Spirit. This ain't right. You people step aside. We'll show you how this is done. And so he gave an altar call to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And there was about 50 of them came up, because I know I took half the line. He took half the line. I prayed for at least 23, 25 people, and they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I thought, well, let's have that praise and worship service over again. Let's see what happens now. You know, but, you know, I'm just making the point that happiness isn't based on what you have in life. It isn't based on your circumstances. It's based on how you walk. Now, let's see how he said to walk. Well, he said, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. How many like to have verse 3 life? You know, what's that? Well, you basically he said, if you meditate on the Word of God, you're going to be happy. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be fruitful. Your life's going to be watered. You're not going to wither, and you're going to be prosperous. Isn't that what people are looking for? Well, right there it is. See, what I want to talk about this morning, see, whether we think about it or not, we're meditating on something all day long. We're meditating on something. You know, I like to say it this way. There's a whole another life going on inside of your head. Now, think about that. You can be out here doing all your busy, everyday stuff you got to do, you know, things you got to do in life. But inside of you, there's another world going on inside of there, isn't there? All day long, you're thinking something. You know, you ever ask somebody, what are you thinking? Nothing. Well, that's not true. How many know that? I mean, there may be a few people that might be true about, but I hope you're not one of them, all right? So we're always thinking something. There's always some kind of life going on in our inside of us. And I've just learned after all these years, if I don't control that life, I don't have Psalm 1 blessing. I have to control that life. That life will control my destiny if I don't stop it. If I just let it flow the way it flows, it'll flow the wrong way because it gets all kinds of negative information from the world. I mean, constantly. Listen, man, I'm telling you, we thought it was such a blessing, you know, when I might have been the early 80s. I don't remember now what the date was, but we thought it was a great blessing when, wow, all of a sudden we got 24-hour news. Wow, isn't that awesome? 24-hour news. Now we found out that was stupid. That was dumb. Who thought this up? Nobody needs to be digesting that unbelief, lies, and bad news for 24 hours a day. Are you with me now? We just thought it was something else. We thought, man, we have arrived. Praise God. You know, that's where we had computers and cell phones and everything else. So 24-hour news, we were, man, we can't get any much smarter than this. Didn't realize we were dumbing down, not smartening up. Amen. What's it matter anyway what the news is when you serve God? You can change it. You don't like it, right? Besides, most of us just a lie anyway. They're false prophets. You know, I mean, listen, we think we're in the information age. We're so smart. I mean, God's a lot smarter than we ever thought of being. His Word's just, I mean, it's just pregnant with revelation. I mean, I've got Alexa. I'll ask her questions. And I mean, she just so, if she doesn't know, she'll tell you something else. I can ask her about Martin Luther, and she doesn't know anything about him. She'll tell me about some other guy. Well, you know, she's just programmed by somebody else. How many know that? You know, people sometimes say, well, Pastor, it's got to be true. I saw it on the Internet. Well, that sanctifies it all right. How many know somebody put the info in there? Remember when computers first came out, they had the phrase garbage in, garbage out? Well, there's a lot of garbage that can go in your head if you don't watch it. and garbage can come out, you know, and it just tries to get in there. How many know that? You don't even invite it, but it'll try to get in there and it'll try to reside in there. But the Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So you have to begin to think on the things, you know, that are good things. Come on. See, listen now, you know, I'm not going to talk about the election. It's not over, but just say that. It ain't over. That last word hadn't been said yet, but just, but regardless of that, you know, you don't need to be thinking about that all day long. That'll just depress you. Now, I told Phyllis, I think it was like Wednesday night when I came here to do the live stream. I said, I don't want to go tonight. Everybody's down. I got to get up here and preach to them. Well, I hope you weren't down. Okay, you were down. You're thinking too much on things. Hey, man, listen, let me just set this. Let's just quit talking about the election right after this. All right, is that all right? Let's just say this. I do care who gets in there, but listen to what I'm saying. No matter who gets in there, they're not changing my life. I'm not connected. My needs aren't met according to Washington, D.C. I'm not connected to the White House. I'm connected to His house, Father's house. So, you know, you want the right people in there because it makes it easier. But regardless, I've lived through all kinds of good, bad presidents, however you saw it. Some people thought they were good. Some I thought, I'm glad they're gone, you know. And so it doesn't change my life. It hadn't changed my life all these years since I've been a believer. The president hadn't changed my life a bit. Some of you are looking like unconvinced. But he doesn't change my life because he's not my Lord. Amen. I want right people in there that don't misunderstand me. But I'm just simply saying I'm not letting anybody outside of Jesus Christ have dominion and control in my life. This is not going to happen. And as long as he's still on the throne, last time I checked, he was. Right? I mean, Jesus is still Lord, right? Last time I checked, he's Lord and head of the church. And he's the one that said, you know, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be a good cheer. I overcame it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, that means if he overcame it, I overcome it because he's the head and I'm the body.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. You know, what the head gets, the body gets. You don't just come in and say, hey, my head got some new shoes today. No, you got some new shoes. Amen. Now, so, so, you know, when we talk about meditation, let me say this about meditation. You know, there's a lot of, you know, if you said meditation out in the world, they think, okay, we're going to sit around and hum all day. You know, until we reach some kind of state where, you know, our mind is emptied of everything. I got news for you. You're almost there already now. Your mind's almost emptied right now. Now, see, Bible meditation isn't the emptying of your mind of everything. It's filling your mind with something. It's not reaching some kind of nirvana, you know, where, you know, no, it's just keeping your mind on good things, keeping your mind on the Word of God, keeping your mind on good thoughts instead of all the negative stuff. Are you with me now? Have you ever noticed the things that people worry about, they can't change them anyway? So you wasted all that time. You might as well just spend. And you know what happens, you know, then you begin to get down. You begin to dry up. You begin to wither. Amen. Look at the, let's go to Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Come on, help me out, somebody.
Amen.
This is good preaching. I don't know if you know it or not, but it's good preaching. Now, so you just got to keep your mind on the good things. Don't allow CNN, CBS, NBC, and all the other news networks have your mind. Keep it yourself. Keep it filled with God's Word. Keep it filled with good thoughts. I'm not just talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about because we're redeemed. Amen? You know, years ago there was a man, a pastor, and his name was Norman Vincent Peale. Remember him? Have you ever heard of Guidepost? All right, he was the author, the originator of Guidepost. And he wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. And he told some other ministers, he said, I really wanted to call it The Power of Positive Faith, but he said, I knew all the Christians wouldn't read it. You know, the people wouldn't read it. So he said, I called it the power of positive thinking. Well, let me say this about positive thinking. We don't just think positive, you know, we think the word. We think redemption. So I'm not just talking about positive thinking. I'm not just talking about I think I can. We're talking about I think I can because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So it isn't based on my ability. It isn't based on things going my way. It's based on whom I serve.
Right, right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, I mean, you serve the Almighty.
Yes.
You notice that God, you know, the Bible said when God swore, he swore by himself. You ever wondered why he swore by himself? Who's he going to find any higher to swear by? You know, you go to the court and you're in court and you put your hand on the Bible. I guess they still do that. I don't know. You know, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. What are you saying? You're saying, well, there's a higher power. I'm calling to keep me honest. Amen. God swore by himself because he's as high as they get. So what I'm saying to you, listen, you know, we can be positive. We can think good thoughts because of who we serve. It's all going to work out in our favor. Say amen.
Amen.
No matter what happens, good, bad, or ugly comes our way, it's going to turn out in my favor. Amen. Not because of me, because of him. Amen. You know, it's like, have you ever just, especially the nighttime, have you ever just laid in bed and tried to figure out the answer to a problem that you don't have an answer for? We've all done that, right? What happens? Do you ever get the answer? No, because it's not there. Amen. Sometimes I'll look for stuff. Now, see, men, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe not all men are this way. But me, if it's not right there, it's not there. If I can't open the drawer and it's laying on top, it's not there. When we moved into our new house, we've been living in this house for about 5 years. It's way past time for us to move. But we've been living there for 5 years. I didn't know where their sugar was at for 4 months. And I opened the cabinet door where it was looking right at me for 4 months. You know, I had a little sugar bowl. I drink coffee. I put a spoonful of sugar in it or I don't drink it. Phyllis says I only like cream and sugar, not coffee. And I just put the sugar, and I have a little bowl, and she'd have to keep filling it up. I didn't know where the sugar was at. And then finally one day it was empty, and she hadn't filled it up, so I said, where's the sugar at? Well, it was right there, right, they opened the cabinet door, right there. Oh, it's been there for 4 months? I've been passing it every day for 4 months almost, and I didn't know it was there. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we're searching for the answer. It's just not there. Well, guess what? We need to quit thinking about it. And say, God, you know, I don't have the answer. How many know if you have the answer, you should do something? Right? I'm not going to go out there and pray for God to help me get my truck started. All I got to do is turn the key. You know what I'm saying? See, if you need your car started because it won't start because something's wrong with it, then you could get Brother Kenny to go out there and pray for it. He's got faith to get cars started. You know, Travis's vehicle wouldn't start one day. We're out here kicking it, beating on it and everything else. And Travis is underneath it, banging away, and Kenny prays for it, and it starts. I thought, I'm the pastor of the church. Why didn't I think of that? He's got faith to get your car started. So if your car won't start, just go get Jumper Kenny and go get it started. Amen. He'll jump it, man, with these words. Amen. But help me understand that we can just get our minds on things and be meditating on the wrong thing all day long. Right, look at Philippians chapter 4. Go there. Philippians chapter 4. You got it? Let's just begin verse 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, or don't be worried or anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Who?
God.
Unto who?
God.
Well, then who's going to do something about it?
God.
You think he's capable?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes you want something done, you got to go to somebody who knows how to do it. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, sometimes, one time I had a house and I decided, I'm going to get a new roof put on it. And I thought, well, I'll just have those guys put the soffit and the guttering on there too. New soffit, siding, guttering, you know. So they're roofers and we'll do that. Okay, they did it. You know what I learned? Get roofer guys to do roofing and get soffit guys to do soffit. My gutters leaked. I had to fix them myself. They didn't have them put on there right. So you have to go to somebody that knows what they're doing if you want it fixed, right? I mean, if your check engine light comes on, you bring it to me, I'll lift the hood and say, yeah, the engine's still in there. I checked it. You know, that's as far as I can go today. Used to, I could work on them. Years ago, how many are old enough, remember years ago, you could work on your own car? Sure, man, you knew what it was. I mean, distributor points and all that, you know how to fix that. But now it's like, I don't even know what it is. So it's like, can't bring it to me. But you take it to a specialist, listen, right? They know what they're doing. Yes. How many remember Wally's filling station? Thank you, Dustin. You know, anybody ever watch Andy Griffith? You know Wally had the filling station? Remember the guy, his car quit running on him? And that guy went to Wally wanting to know what, you know, get his car fixed. And Wally's sitting there rocking. It's on Sunday. He ain't about to go work on Sunday. But he's rocking. He said, what did it sound like? Did it go, or did it go? He said, went. He says, it's fuel line. Clogged fuel line. He said, how'd you know that? By the sound? See, that's an expert. Yeah. Right? Amen. How many know God's an expert? Yeah. I know I'm getting a little silly, but listen, God's an expert. Hey, I haven't been with you for a while. Give me some slack. Amen. Listen, let it be made known unto who? God. All right. If the Bible tells us to let our requests be made known unto God, don't worry about it. So that must be something that's trying to take over your mind. Right. Isn't it?
Yeah.
He said, don't worry about it. Give it to who?
God.
Give it to God. If he said give it to him, how many know he's going to take care of it, right?
Right.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, isn't that what we want?
Yeah.
Well, how are we going to have peace? Well, we got to first give it to God. That means we take our hands off of it. Amen. Now, notice what he says after you've prayed. Now, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. Now listen to that list.
Yeah.
What's true? That leaves out most of the news.
That's right.
Yep.
What's honest or noble? That leaves out most of the news, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's just? What's pure? What's lovely? Right? Mm-hmm. See, something could be true but not lovely.
Right.
Whatsoever things are of a good report. What kind of report?
Good.
All right. Now, how many know you don't sit around and worry about a good report? Man, I'm just so worried, Pastor. What's the matter? I'm just afraid they're going to give me a raise at work. It's really troubling me. Now, I haven't had anybody come up and say, pray with me. I'm really troubled about I might get a raise. I've heard people say, pray with me. I might, you know, I don't get laid off, but not I don't get a raise. Lord, pray with me, Pastor. I'm just concerned somebody's going to pay my house off. You need prayer, but not for that. You should be shouting, hallelujah. You know, so a good report. What's a good report? It's a good report, right? It's a report in line with your redemption. It's a report in line with the Word of God, right? A good report. See, it doesn't mean that there's not bad reports out there and that they're not real and that they don't happen to us at sometimes. He just said, don't think on that. Why? Because that's not the final word for you anyway.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Now notice this, good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned, received, heard, and seen in me do. See, if you do this, he said, the God of peace will be with you.
Yes.
Right.
How many know, we want the God of peace, right?
Right.
You know, he's a God of a lot of things. How many know that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says he's the God of hope. We taught on that Wednesday night. He's the God of hope. All right, so he's a God of hope. Well, if you want hope, you got to do what he said. You want peace, you got to do what he said. You want joy, you got to do what he said. What did he say to do? Rejoice. Redo your joy. Rejoice. Restart it up. Anybody ever lost your joy before? Yeah. What you got to do? You got to rejoice. Won't feel like rejoicing. Well, rejoice anyway. Oh, hallelujah. You're on your way, praise the Lord. That's better than where you were. But have you know we need to get a little bit more umph in that, and God will cause you to triumph.
That's right.
See? Right?
That's right.
Now, have you know when the Bible says rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, why does it say that to us? You think the Bible? See, I think about this. Don't let me forget that. Everybody say rejoice always. Now, I'm going to go back to that, but I always think about some things. I always think about some theological arguments. They're real simple to solve if you think about it. Like people say, you know, the gifts of the Spirit have passed away. Now, listen, God's not stupid. Have me know that. All right, now, why would he give us instructions about the gifts of the Spirit and they passed away? I can guarantee you. I'm not looking for a typewriter repair school. You know why? Because they basically have passed away. Phyllis has still got one. She doesn't use it very often. But anyway, she got some forms in case she has to use a typewriter on. All right? She wouldn't have to, but she does. But how many of your followers, it's passed away.
Right.
I'm not going to typewriter repair school.
Right.
If your kid says, you know, I want to be a typewriter repairer, that's when your parents, you need to learn that sometime you do have to step in and say, this isn't a good idea. Well, they're 18. Oh, my gosh, that just made them all-knowing and all-seeing and omnipresent. Because they turned 18. No, they're still stupid. You have to step in. What I do, hon? I think my wife's telling me it's time to quit. Help me understand. So if it's passed away, there's no need to talk about it.
That's right?
Right? So why would God give us teachings in Corinthians about how to use the gifts of the Spirit and then say, well, they passed away, but, you know, here's how you should use them if they were still around? I don't think he's that dumb. I'm saying that because I was going to say this. Rejoice. Why would God say to rejoice? Well, obviously, he'd say that because there's going to be times you're going to need that. You're not going to feel like rejoicing. You're not going to feel like having joy. You're going to feel like being down. But you have to do what's contrary to your flesh and do what the Bible says, and you'll have the results of the Word. Amen. Come on. See, it's real simple. It's not all that hard, but people kind of complicate it and say, well, I'm just waiting until I feel something. Well, sometimes you have to move before you feel anything. Amen. Come on now. Now, let's go. I tell you what, let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to look at a few scriptures, about three more, if that's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're just talking about now meditating on good things, keeping your mind on good things, making sure that throughout the day you're not just dwelling and meditating on negative things. And when you find negative things coming into your mind, you do something about it. Look what the Bible said to do here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, the Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not natural, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
Casting down imagination. See, here's where the strongholds come at. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity. Notice this. This is really strong word here. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. It sounds like we got a job to do, doesn't it? Now, see, what are we supposed to do? Well, see, if you allow yourself to continue to meditate on negative things, if you do that, it's going to become a stronghold in your life. You know, there are Christians that are stuck because they maybe had a negative experience in their life and they just have meditated on it for 30 years. Come on now. See, and no amount of laying on of hands, no amount of counseling is going to do anything until they decide to quit meditating on that and move on. Isn't that right? You know, if your horse dies, move on. If something's dead in your life, move on from it. Come on. They used to say about Wigglesworth. Have you ever heard of Wigglesworth, Smith Wigglesworth, the English preacher? They'd say he wouldn't even put like a, you know how they'd cut flowers and put them in your lapel thing here? You guys wouldn't. He wouldn't let them put one on him. He said, no, you don't. The moment you cut it, it started dying. I don't want death on me. He was just, Dr. Summer, I was listening to him just yesterday. I think it was yesterday, day before yesterday. And he was talking about his first, you know, going to Wigglesworth House. You know, see, he was very watchful of what he allowed to get in his mind. No wonder he had such victory. But Dr. Summerall said, he said, I was preaching at this camp meeting in England. He was in England. And Dr. Summerall was a young man when Smith Wigglesworth was in his 80s. Dr. Summerall was in his 20s. And he said, I was preaching at this camp meeting, and he said Wigglesworth was there. He was the day speaker. Because but Dr. Summerall was an evangelist, so they had him preach at the night. They had Wigglesworth teach during the afternoon and the day because he was a Bible teacher. And so he said, Wigglesworth sitting on the platform, he said, when I got done with my sermon, he said, Wigglesworth stood up and came to me, said, come see me. He said, I thought I was in trouble. You know, like I just got called in the principal's office because Wigglesworth's this great man of faith. You know, after you've seen a couple people raised from the dead, it does help your ministry. He saw many. You know? And so, you know, so he said, come see me, young man. He said, I thought I'm in trouble. And he said, well, when can I come and see you? He said, anytime. And he said, well, what's the address? He gave him the address. He said, 2 weeks later, I came to his house to see him. He said, I had a newspaper. One of the times he came to his house, he said, I had a newspaper under my arm. He said, when Wigglesworth opened the door, he didn't say hello. He didn't say, how you doing? Glad you're here. He said, the first thing he said was, what's that? I said, it's a newspaper, sir. He said, throw it in the bushes. I don't allow lies in my house. Hallelujah. And he went on to say, Hitler and Mussolini will soon be dead and in hell. Well, he was right about that. Anyway, see, what was he saying? I don't allow that stuff in my house. Why? It's just full of lies. I want truth in me. I'm not saying you can't read the news. Somewhere you're looking at me like, man, what are you talking about? I can't read the newspaper. I didn't say you can't read a newspaper. Do it. Just put a warning label on it. This may be dangerous for my health. Amen. Right? I mean, you know, come on. I mean, no offense to anybody that smokes. You do what you want to do. But there is a label on there that says this has been determined to kill you. Doesn't it say that? Well, the buzzer doesn't say that. Well, it says it's been known to cause cancer and hazardous to your health. If your health gets destroyed, what does that do? That kills you. So anyway, here, have some. See, we don't realize this, but I'm going to tell you what, sometimes some of this stuff we allow in our minds is worse than smoking a cigarette by far. It can take years for that cigarette to kill you, but that poison stuff we let in our minds can cripple you immediately. Well, pastor's saying it's okay to smoke. I didn't say that. I just said, look, there's warning labels on that. I think there ought to be warning labels on some of our news. This is hazardous to your spiritual health. Don't believe a thing we say. Amen. Now, since that's going over so big, notice this now. He said, bring every thought. How many thoughts? You remember the scripture. We won't look at this, but we'll look at one more scripture. Did you get anything today? Yes. All right. You remember the scripture, 2 Timothy. I think most of you remember that. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and what? A sound mind, right? You know that word sound? It's an interesting word in the Greek. One of the things it does mean is safe thinking. It's a Greek word, sophronismos. And one of the things it means is safe thinking. So there is safe thinking and there's unsafe thinking. Right? When somebody takes their life, what happened? What was the problem? The problem, they think the problem was, you know, the difficulty going on in their life. But really, the difficulty they faced in their life, other people have faced it and have overcome it. There's nothing new under the sun. Right. Everybody's had marriage trouble. Well, not everybody, but well, yeah, if you've been married for, you know, a couple weeks you have. But anyway, but you know, I mean, I'm talking about serious trouble. You know what I'm saying. Amen. And so everybody's had financial issues. Everybody's had health issues. Everybody's had all these issues, and they've overcome them. But what happened was a stronghold got in their mind, and they began to believe they'd be better off dead. I mean, that's just a lie. That's a stronghold. That's unsafe thinking. Amen? See, there's churches where on Sunday morning you'll hear sermons that will cause your thinking to be unsafe. It's not God's will to do this. It's not God's will to do that. It's just a lie. It's unsafe. See, when it's very popular in the church to say it's not God's will to heal everybody. Well, that's real unsafe thinking. Because if it's not God's will to heal everybody, then how do we know who it's His will to heal? Well, just the ones He heals. Well, then how could we ever pray the prayer of faith? There's no way we could ever pray the prayer of faith if that's the truth. Couldn't have any faith. You know, if I said, look, I got $1,000 in my billfold today. I'm going to give it to somebody. Can you have any faith you're going to get it? Kenny does. You know what Kenny's got? I'm going to tell you what Kenny's got. Kenny's got presumption right there. See, the thing would give you faith. What if I said, I'm going to give it to you? Would that give you faith? Some of you wouldn't even give you faith then. Do you think I'm a liar? What? God's not a liar. How many know that? So if we're going to have faith, amen, if we're going to pray a prayer of faith, then it's got to be based on something solid He said. And if He said, I might not, that's not too solid. If I say, I might give you 1,000 today, I might not, that's not too solid. I'm leaning towards the might not. Matter of fact, I'm pretty convinced it's the might not. So see, you can't have any faith in that, right? So you hear that stuff, what's that do? That puts unsafe thinking in your mind. But here's what I wanted to say. That wasn't it about this verse. What I wanted to say is that word sound mind also means a disciplined mind. Your mind needs discipline. How many know your children need discipline, right? What happened? Have you ever seen an undisciplined child? You ever been to the grocery store and, you know, thought, man, give me 5 minutes with that kid. I'll fix it. You never thought any of that? I'm the only one who had those kind of thoughts. Like, just give me 5 minutes. I'll tell you how to fix that. My dad knew how to fix that. My dad, he didn't know about timeout. He knew about knockout, but he didn't know about timeout. All right. That's just a little humor. We're not talking about abuse. Everybody chill. It's got kids. All right. Now, but what I'm saying is you have to discipline your children, right? Well, because they don't have it on their own. They have to be trained. Think what happens if you just let them eat what they want to eat. What are they going to eat? Most kids I know are going to eat junk. So you have to train them. You know, you have to teach them. Well, your mind's the same way. It's like a kid. It's got to be disciplined. It's got to be trained. You can't think that. I'm not letting you think on that. In other words, you have to take control of your mind instead of letting your mind take control of you. Because it'll try to run your life. And to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So you have to grab a hold of it and say, no, you're not thinking that. If we couldn't do it, why did the Bible say bring into thought captivity every thought? We can do it, right? How many know it's not easy? How many know it's not easy to discipline your kids? But you want good fruit, right? You don't want, you have to live with them. Why do I have to behave? Because I have to live with you. Buy your own house, you can act any old way you want. Act a fool. But you live with me, you're not going to act that way. All right? So you have to discipline because the results. Your mind's the same way. You can't let it act a fool. You can't let it do what it wants to do. It has to be. You can't let it think all those wrong thoughts. You can't stop wrong thoughts from coming, but you don't have to dwell on them. You kick them out. You know, have you ever been tried to cast your care over on the Lord and it just keeps trying to come back? What you got to do? You got to stay on it. No, you can't stay here. And you may go along, you find about 5 minutes you've been thinking about it, and then you catch yourself. Wait a minute. No, can't think on that. Amen. Now, let's go to one last scripture. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 26, and we'll close right here. I hope you got something today out of this, but you know, we have to meditate, make sure we're meditating on good things. I preached a message one time called Think About What You're Thinking About. You got to think about it. Don't just let it run loose. Isaiah 26, go there. And I want to read just one verse in Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Here's something that's interesting. You know, the King James, you may have a different translation, but the King James says, "You will keep him in perfect peace." But the reality is the Hebrew, in the Hebrew, it says peace, peace. It's the word shalom twice. So, you know, most of you have heard that word, shalom. You will keep him in shalom, shalom. In English, we'd say peace, peace. What is it saying? Double. Double. You'll keep him in double peace. What's double? I got to think about this one day. What's double peace? Peace in the physical realm and peace in the spiritual realm. God wants us to have peace in both areas. He wants us to have peace in our natural realm, but then he wants us to have peace in the spiritual realm. And so but it comes, listen to this, by keeping our mind leaned on him. We're not just allowing our minds to meditate anything they want to meditate on. It wants to meditate on. We tell it what it's going to think. What'd Paul say? Think on these things. Did you notice he didn't say try? Amen. Have you ever noticed God doesn't say try a lot? You can't find it. Here's 10 commandments. Try and see if you can keep these. Now, that's not what he said, is it? He said do it. Would he know if we could do it or not? Yeah. He'd know. So what is he saying? He didn't say it'd be easy, but he's saying make your mind behave. Make it think good thoughts. Make it meditate on good things. When you find yourself going throughout the day, saints, your mind's wanting to wander to, you know, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Bring it off of that. Make it come back. Yeah. Don't let it, just like if your children tried to wander out in the street, you'd go get them, wouldn't you? You'd go get them out. See? So just like that, your mind will try to wander out in the road where it'll get hurt. Bring it back. Amen. Talk to it. You can't talk. You can't think that way. Amen. Come on. You can't do that. Right? See, I've told you the story many times. When I was a little kid, I was a mess as a kid. I was one of these kids. I grew out of it. But when I was 4, 5, 6 years old, I got in a lot of trouble. Parents have a way of getting that out of you. But I did things. And I remember one time I was mad. Mom and Dad over something went and laid out in the street. Thank God it was Winslow, Indiana. Instead of Evansville. My dad, I mean, he came hiking out there. And he got me out of that street. And that wasn't all he did. He left a little impression on why I shouldn't go back out there on that street again. But why did he do that? Well, he knew that was dangerous. Even if it is Winslow, at least in a couple of days, there's going to be a car come by there. You know, probably a car came by that street every 1 hour maybe, you know, unless it was high traffic time, you know. And then they might be three. And so, but he knew that's dangerous. See, your mind does that, don't you? It'll go out there and it'll do things and it'll think things that you shouldn't think. You got to go get it and bring it back, so you can't do that. Come back here. We're redeemed. What happens to other people doesn't happen in our life. Their outcome is not our outcome. We may face the same test, the same trials, the same difficulties they face, but the outcome they experience, that's not our outcome, mine, so quit thinking on that. our outcome's victory. How do I know that? Because the Bible said He always gives me the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He always causes me to triumph in Christ. So I have to make my mind behave. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.